our introit today, we have a special treat with our children's choir and Robert Cruz reading the scripture first for us.
Now Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to the Horeb, the mountain of God, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him in the flame, the fire out of the midst of the bush. He looked into the bush, and Moses said, "I will turn aside and see the great sight, why the bush is not burned." When the Lord saw, called to him the bush, "Moses, Moses," and he said, "Here I am."
I, the Lord of sea and sky, I have heard my people cry, all who dwell in dark and sin, my hand will save. I who made the stars of night, I will make the darkness bright. Who will bear my light to them? Who shall I send? Here I am, Lord. Is it I, Lord? I have heard you calling in the night. I will go, Lord, if you lead me.
The snow and rain. I have borne my people's pain. I have wept for love for them. They turn away. I will break their hearts of stone. Give them hearts of love alone. I will speak my word to them. Who shall I send?
Here I am.
Wind and flame, I will tend the poor and lame. I will set a feast for them. My hand will save. Finest bread I will provide till their hearts be satisfied. I will give my life to them. Whom shall I send?
Here I
today. I want you to know this is the third service that he read it in. He got up early and came to the 8 o'clock service and read it as well. I called him last night and asked him if he'd do that, and he wasn't sure, but he got up on his own and got his dad up so that he could go out to breakfast after that service. So it seemed like just the other day I preached a whole sermon with him on my shoulder on his baptism day. Wasn't that last year or so? I don't know. You know, how time flies, God. But here he is. That's a great story, and I was pleased with Robert being willing to read it. It's an intriguing story of that burning bush there, that bush that is burning but not burned up. And Moses was curious, and so he came a little closer, and then when he heard his own name, Moses, Moses, coming from that bush, he said those words that were on the song, "Here I am, Lord." Well, now then, the story goes on, for Robert just read you the beginning part of the story. The story goes on that the bush tells him about Egypt and the plight of the Hebrews in Egypt, and Moses knew about that. But then God goes on to say, "I'm going to send you to do something about it." Now, if Moses had known that song, right, he did the first part, right? He said, "The here I am, Lord." Once he heard God say, "I need you to go," what do you think Moses said? Well, if he'd known the song, he should say what?
"I will go."
"I will go, Lord," right? "I will go, Lord." Well, those of you that know the story, was that what he said?
No.
Oh, no. Instead, he said, verse 11, "Well, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" In other words, who? Me? Not me. But then God says, "Yes, you. You go, and I'm going to help you." So then Moses said, "I will go, Lord." Right?
Nope.
Wrong. If we look on a little bit more, God tells him all these things, all that he's going to do, but Moses responds, "But suppose they do not believe me or listen to me, but say the Lord did not appear to you." In other words, it just won't work. But then God showed him some miracles. God had him throw down his staff and it turned into a snake. And then he picked it back up and it turned back into a staff again. And had him put his hand into his robe and it came out all yucky with leprosy. And then he put it back in and it was healed again. I mean, with all these miracles that God showed him, surely then that's when Moses would say, "I will go, Lord," right? Wrong. Tells us a lot about the nature of God. First of all, it tells us that God doesn't give up on us. I mean, Moses said over and over, "No, no, I'm not going to do this, no, no." But God was persistent and kept coming at him and coming at him and coming at him. And isn't that what's true with us? Sometimes we tell God, "No, no, I don't want to do that. No, no, God, just I don't want to do that. No, I'm not going to do that." But God keeps opening other doors and other things. We might as well just say yes to God in the first place and save ourselves all that hassle. Because God is a persistent God and does not give up on us. Also, it tells us that God gives us a lot of help. A lot of help. God said, "I'll be with you. And Aaron will be with you. I'm not sending you out there all by yourself. I'm going to give you a lot of help." So whenever we feel God calling us, we need to realize that God's going to give us a lot of help. Then Moses says, "Oh, Lord, I have never been an eloquent speaker, neither in the past nor even now, that you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and slow of tongue." In other words, I can't do it. But God says, "You can. I made you. You can do this." So then Moses said, "I will go, Lord." Right? Said, "Oh, please send someone else." Over and over again. You know what Moses needed to do? Moses needed to read the book, didn't he? Moses needed to read Rick Warren's Purpose-Driven Life. Because then he would have known that you were shaped for serving God. Or, as I put it in the song, purpose number 4, we will serve until we soar. Now, I use that word soar mainly because it rhymed with 4, but I also knew that when you serve God, when you do what God wants you to do, what you were created to do, it's exhilarating, and it feels like you're soaring. So we will serve until we soar. I asked them at the 9:30 service whether Read to Feed was a ministry or a mission. And I was pleased because the kids right away said, both. They knew that was the answer that went there on that Harry Sermon Club. It's both, because it's ministry. As we support the children and encourage them to read, we're helping them to gain skills that are important for them. So that makes it a ministry. But it also makes it a mission as we realize that we raised $1,000. Those kids raised $1,000 to buy animals for third world countries to help families be more independent. So that's a mission. Mission and ministry. We need to have both of them in our lives. But Rick Warren has this kind of neat acrostic here about SHAPE. And SHAPE will help us to find our ministry. S stands for spiritual gifts. Now, if you remember last year during Lent, those of you that were here, we took the whole Lenten season to talk about our spiritual gifts, and our altar looked something like this. We talked about, instead of giving up chocolate or cigarettes or something like that, we would give up our gifts to God. And each week we talked about two or three of the spiritual gifts. And there are lots of spiritual gifts. We can't name them all, but there are lots of different ones of them. Some of them, hospitality, music, I mean, prophecy, all these things are spiritual gifts. I just had lunch last week with a clergy friend of mine, and they also last year had done a big thing on spiritual gifts, and actually their church just did away with all their committees, everything except trustees and staff parish. They did away with everything else, and they said, let's just organize around our spiritual gifts. So you know what your gifts are, and you know what your gifts are. You get together, and you figure out what your ministries are. Well, she said it was a little hectic at first with no structure, but gradually people are coming around and they're coming up with new things that they were thinking. One group of people said, well, their gift was hospitality. And what they were doing is that if anybody new came, they identified them right away and then invited them out to eat that day with that group. So it wasn't just that that group was going with their own little group of friends. They were reaching out and inviting new people and asking them to be their guests. They were kind of all pitching in. They probably had somebody with the gift of generosity, too, to go there with them. But they'd say, well, if you can't come today, how about next Sunday? And the first time will be on us. Well, that was a way of reaching out, a new way. They weren't on some committee. They were just using their gift of hospitality. So there were lots of other ways that they used their gifts. So spiritual gifts are important. And our heart is important. We need to go the way that our heart is challenging us to grow. You know, God kind of nudges us sometimes, and it's hard to discern what is God really saying. But if you begin to get the feeling that, and you think, you know, I think somebody in this church should do this or that, or I think it would be a good idea if this was done, or this looks like this needs to be done, or, oh, I wish that would be done. Well, if you begin to think that somebody should do something, chances are it's you God is calling to do that thing. So be aware of the nudges of your heart. What are you thinking should happen around this church? It's probably what God is calling you to do. Think about it. Be aware of your heart and your abilities. We need to use all kinds of abilities, and almost all the abilities we have can be used for the church. If you can have the ability to pick up trash, you know what? You can pick up some trash around the church. If you have the ability to wash windows, we have a few windows around here that could be washed. If you have the ability to sort clothes, do we need some people to help sort clothes for that rummage sale? Yes. If you have the ability to count money, we can do whatever abilities you have. It's just wonderful to see people using their abilities. Scott's standing back there at the soundboard. Now, he saved the church at least $100 this week on fixing and getting something off of a computer that we couldn't do. I mean, he's using his abilities. There's lots of things that we can do. Whatever abilities we have, we need to look around and say, how can I use that ability for the church? And we do it in a way that fits our personality. Rick Warren was saying in the book, not everybody is alike. Wouldn't it be boring if we were all like vanilla ice cream? You know, now, how many of you like vanilla ice cream? Well, I mean, probably lots of times. But I like chocolate, too, don't you? And do we have any strawberry people here? Oh, but I love mint chocolate chip. That's one of my favorites. But aren't we glad that there are lots and lots of different kinds of ice cream? Well, you know, that's nothing compared to the different kinds of people that there are. God made each one of us different, and we each have our own personality and a way that we can give to the church. I was talking about, like, two people might have the same gift, the gift for evangelism, but one person's rather shy, so they write notes. And another person likes to talk all the time, and so they talk to people about church. I mean, one might quietly leave a flyer on a doorknob, and another might hand out flyers to everybody they see at the store and talk with them about it. You do what your gifts are in sync with your own personality and with the experiences that have happened in your life. God uses the experiences that we've had to help open up channels for ministry. And he makes one important comment. He said, God never wastes a hurt. I never thought of it that way. God never wastes a hurt. He said, sometimes you will find that your most hurtful experiences help open up doors to more ministry. Like people who have struggled with alcoholism and overcome it, they can minister the best to people who are having the same kind of struggle, or those people who are overweight, or lots of different things. We have one family that I'd like to tell you about. They were here at the 9:30 service. They joined last week. Patty and John Thomas. They're really a wonderful couple. She is an administrator of 10 adult foster care homes, and he is a policeman. They're respectable people, people who other people look up to. And they have several children, but their oldest child made some very bad decisions and some bad choices, and she ended up in prison. And one of the things that was on the list for new members, we have them fill out, and one of the questions is, what are you willing for your new church family to know about you? And Patty said on that list, I'm willing for them to know that I have an incarcerated daughter. Because maybe that's what somebody needs to know. Maybe someone is in that same kind of situation, or has someone in their family, or there's someone out there that needs to have my friendship and my support. Because she said, at first, she was embarrassed by the whole thing, and she didn't want people to know. But then one thing led to another, and then she was asked to speak before a group of U of M students and their parents. And it was just amazing what happened as she was able to share her feelings and how she'd grown through this whole process. And it's just opened up lots of doors of ministry or mission to her. And so she's willing to share that. And I think she's really a great example of how hard experiences in our lives help us to develop ministries. What if some hard experience has been in your lives? Maybe that's the point that you need to develop ministry. Where has your experience led you? So when we shape up, then we can soar, as our song says, because we realize that as we give to others, we become healthier and stronger. He uses two other little examples in his book that I thought were neat. One was in Israel. You know how I love Israel examples, but there is the Sea of Galilee and the Dead Sea. And the Sea of Galilee is a sea that is teeming with fish. It has water going into it from the Jordan River at the north and the Jordan River going out of it on the south. And it's a healthy lake. But the Dead Sea has only the river going into it. The water only goes into the Dead Sea. Any of the rivers that come into it only go in because it is the lowest place, has the lowest elevation around, and water can't come out of it. So what happens is all those minerals stay there, and that's why, and nothing can live in it. That's why it's called the Dead Sea. And as he said, it's like what we are. When we only take in God's love and don't give out any, then we become spiritually stagnant as well. Or he used another, as we give to others, we become healthier and stronger. The other example that he used was a sleeping giant, and he called his church Saddleback Church a sleeping giant, because he said, if it ever wakes up, boy, it will turn the world upside down. Now, our church is not nearly as big as Saddleback Church, but I think it's safe to say that our church, Aldersgate, is a bit of a sleeping giant as well. And if we ever woke up, and if we ever shaped up and used all of our spiritual gifts, led by our heart, using all the abilities we have in a way that fits our personality and the experiences that are in our lives, we could really soar, and we'd be amazed at the waters that will open up to us and the ministries that will happen as we soar. For SOAR is a great acrostic for Serve Others at Aldersgate in Redford. I put that word in the song because it rhymed with four. But then when I realized, oh, Diana, it's a great acrostic for Serve Others at Aldersgate in Redford. That's what we need to do. So are we ready to shape up and soar? Oh, I hope so. We're going to have a time of prayer now. First, our unison prayer, and then I want to have a time of response. There is a ministry sheet in there, ministry opportunities sheet, and as you look at that, I want you to prayerfully think about ways that you might try a new ministry, that you might try something else, that you might shape up so that we can all soar together. So let's be in prayer, and then let's respond.